Open up your Bibles to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. We're going to go there in just a moment. I'm going to, I want to encourage on something and want you to know that we love kids around here. And so because we don't have kids' church going on right now, we're going to have in each service a segment for our kids. How many of you know that's a good thing? Amen? Because we believe in families, and we want to minister to your family. And maybe your family takes up an entire row, like this one right back here. Welcome. Man, the entire row. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you're here. And so we're going to do that as part of our service and our worship. But the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us when we do that. The Holy Spirit reaches out and touches our children. Amen? Touches our kids. Isaiah chapter 14. And before we read that scripture, we've been in a series for a couple of weeks entitled Take No Thought. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34, he told them, don't take any thought about what you will eat or what you will drink, what your provisions, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about any of those things. He said, don't take thought. And the truth is, don't take the thought of the negative. How many of you know we got a lot of negative things coming at us? And don't take the thought of the negative. Don't let it dwell in your mind. But rather to take the thought of God. Take the thoughts of the Spirit, the thoughts of the Word of God. I'm going to talk to you today about God thoughts. All right? Last week we talked to you, and you watched on live stream or were here with us. We talked about Paul said when he was a child, he spoke as a child. He thought as a child. He acted as a child. But when he became a man, a spiritual man, he put away childish things and began to speak or think, talk like a man, a spiritual man. And so we talked about the spiritual maturity in our lives, and God working on us. But this morning I want to talk to you about God thoughts. He said, take no thought about the enemy, the evil, but take God's thoughts. So Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24 says this, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought. Now I want you to understand, God thinks. All right? In fact, God, you're on God's mind. You're on his mind right now. All right? Surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. So, in talking about keeping the thoughts of God, I want you to understand this morning from the Word of God, God's already thinking about you. The moment this whole stuff started to happen, all right, with health concerns and the virus and all of these things, God was thinking about you. He was concerned about you. In fact, in meditating on this, the Lord even asked me some questions in regard to how I'm handling this thing. All right, because God's thinking about me, and he asked me the question, what are you thinking about all this? And I had to answer him and say, I'm not sure about all this except that I know what the Bible says about this. I know that this is a season that's leading up to the final days, the rapture of the church. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to you more specifically about this whole thing. All right, But I had to answer some things. God, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to walk in this? And this is when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, don't take thought of any of that. I want you to take thought of my word, and I want you to take thought of the Spirit of God, and I want you to fill your mind with the things that I say, because God said the things that I say are going to prevail. The things that God says are going to be the final thing that works. Amen. All right? The Word of the living God. So this morning we're talking about God thoughts. So if we want to know what God thinks about all this stuff, we've got to get into the Word of God and think God's thoughts. So go to Isaiah 55 with me real quick, Isaiah 55, because God has already thought, all right? And the Bible says, as he has thought, so shall it be. In other words, when God thinks and speaks something, it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord looks upon you and his word that has already been declared, he takes his word and he says, all right, angels, I want you to take my word and go fulfill it in the life of my people. I want you to go make it real. I want you to go make it happen. Come on, somebody. So that no matter what they walk through on the earth, the word of the Lord is going to be the thing that prevails. That God will prevail above everything else that's going on in the world. Amen. And in order for us to hear that and understand that, we've got to refocus. We've got to get our mind off of the negative things, get our mind off of the immature things, get our heart and spirit connected with the mature things of God, all right, and listen to what the word of the Lord says. So let's go to Isaiah 55, and we're going to begin with verse number 6. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. One of the greatest things that I believe that God is stirring up in our lives during this season is to stir us up to seek God more than we ever have before. How many of you know the government is not going to be able to deliver us out of the situation the globe is in? This is not just our little world. This is the entire globe that God says he has in his hand. Come on, somebody. That he says, see, the Bible says that God's hand stretches from one side of heaven to the other side of heaven, and he holds the whole universe in his hands. There is nothing too big for God or too little for God. It doesn't pay to get stressed out about the natural because God has you and I in his hand. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You're in his hand. Now watch. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. The most important thing that we can be doing right now is calling on the name of the Lord and seeking him with our whole heart and with a greater passion and a stronger hunger and a greater thirsting than we have ever sought him before in our entire life. It's the call of God to bring the church to seek him and to call on the name that's above every name, the only name that can deliver you. Hallelujah. I have found myself, and my wife and I spend actually more time even in our house calling on the name of the Lord than we do other things that we used to do. Because we realize the importance of this is an opportunity for me to be changed and become alive with the power of the Spirit of God greater than ever. Because there are miracles that need to happen. There are signs and wonders that need to take place. Oh, come on, are you hearing me this morning? There are supernatural things that need to transpire by the power of God. And if we will seek him, we will see them. I want to see those supernatural works. I want to see the signs and wonders and miracles God said are ours in this last day. Hallelujah. I want to experience them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it takes seeking up and calling upon him while he is near. Now listen, God hasn't gone anywhere during these last 7 weeks that Montana's been closed down. In fact, he's actually drawn closer to us. Amen. Because he said, I know you. I know your ways. I know what's happening. I know what's going on. See, because as he's thought, he's already purposed in his word. He knew this day would come along. It's written right there. And so in the middle of it, he's drawing closer to us than we even realize. I'll tell you, there's a new anointing in my house. There's a new anointing in my office, in our office together. There's a new anointing. You can't help but walk onto this facility and sense the presence and the power and the anointing of Almighty God. Because He has drawn nearer to us than we imagine. Now, I got to get into the message. All right? Call upon Him while He is near. Somebody say, He's near. He's near. Verse number 7. Verse 7 then says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Take no thought. The thoughts that the Hebrew word here is means intentions and plans and preparation and contrivance. Or in other words, devising plans and schemes. So he says, let the wicked forsake his way and his thoughts. You realize in our world there's a lot of contriving that's going on. There's a lot of things that people are planning. How we're going to get out of this, and what are we going to do when we get out of this, and all kinds of things like that. And the Bible says that it's time for the wicked to forsake their way and to come to Jesus and forsake their wicked thoughts. Because, see, man's thoughts, the Bible said, are always wicked. And if we're thinking, or if the world stays in that vein of wicked thinking, when this seems to come out of it, things are going to be really bad for those who don't know Jesus. Now, I'm not a doomsday preacher. I'm just telling you, this is a season we've got to call on the name of the Lord and come to Him and forsake the unrighteous thoughts and leave them behind, all right? The unrighteous thoughts. I've heard enough news to last me for a long time. I've heard enough negative news to last my lifetime. I'm ready for some good news. Come on. And the good news is that God has already been thinking over you. Now, He said, let him forsake their thoughts and let him return to the Lord. And the Lord will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. I've got great news for you. This is the greatest time in history for the mightiest move of God that we've ever seen on the face of the globe. This is the season. It's the season, all right, for a mighty move of God. There is a return. Somebody say return. I was watching, I was watching the news and I heard a newscaster, a reporter, not the desk reporter, but the field reporter, out reporting on some of this stuff. And his quote was, people have nowhere to turn. And immediately in my spirit, something rose up and said, but there is someone to turn to. There is a Savior. There's a Lord. There's a healer. There's a deliverer. There's a God. There's an Almighty One, hallelujah, to turn to. There is somebody to turn to out of all the stress and all the pressure and all the stuff that's going on. But we've got to turn, and it's important that the church turns to the Lord. Amen. Maybe before all this was going down, maybe your prayer life wasn't like it should have been. Maybe your Bible study life wasn't like it was supposed to be. This is a good time to turn back to the Lord. Get Him your priority. Make Him the number one again. Hallelujah. To turn. He said, let them return. Let the unrighteous return to the Lord. And listen, God will have mercy and He will abundantly pardon. He'll abundantly pardon. Look at verse number 8 with me. Verse number 8, because the prophet of God goes on to say, for my thoughts... Somebody say, your thoughts. Somebody say, God's thoughts. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Your thoughts aren't my thoughts. Now, that's interesting to me. Now, I know the context which he was speaking to Israel, but I take that in a personal context as well. When God says to me, my thoughts are not your thoughts, which means I need to get my thoughts lined up with God's thoughts. I need to think about all this the way he's thinking about this. Hello, somebody. I need to think. See, God's thinking in terms of revival and people coming to him. But yet humanity is thinking about themselves. Come on, somebody. They're thinking about me. Those without Jesus are thinking selfishly, but those who love the Lord think God's thoughts. Now, I'm going somewhere. This is going to get really strong, really powerful. Now, watch. Whereas, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are yours your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Go to verse number 9. And verse number 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. The heavens are higher than the earth. I've got good news for you that one day heaven will completely invade earth. Right now, Jesus said, pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there will be one day that heaven's thoughts, God's thoughts, will invade the earth. At the end of the tribulation period, and every born-again believer is going to rule and reign with him on this earth with heaven's thoughts and heaven's ways. Amen. Now watch. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We've got to understand the way that God thinks. What's his intentions? What's his purpose? What's his work that he's working? If we understand how he thinks, now get ready to write this down because this is powerful. God thinks in terms of who he is and what he does. Are you hearing this? Now, that's not being self-absorbed. That's simply stating the fact that God in heaven is the only God and there is none like him in all the earth. Come on. So he thinks in terms of who he is and what he does in relationship to you and I. So the Word of God says, there are seven redemptive things that God says he is, and those are the things that he's thinking in relationship to his ways to operate in our lives. The first one is this, all right? God's thought, all right? He's the supreme deity. He's the authority. He's the magistrate. He's the supreme God. He is Jehovah. So he's thinking in terms of Jehovah Tsidkenu. In other words, he's thinking in terms of righteousness. He's thinking in terms that in this situation that we're walking through and living in, he's saying, look, I want my people to think the way I think, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want them to understand that in my supremacy and my authority of heaven, God says, that they are created in righteousness and true holiness. God is thinking about you in relationship to righteousness. He is not looking at all of the things that are going on the earth. He's not looking at the wickedness. He's not looking at the negative. He's not looking at the destructive things. He's looking at the righteousness of God that will rise up out of the church of God. Are you catching this? Because he's already thinking in terms of, I am your Jehovah, Tsidkenu, your righteousness. And when your righteousness is of him, you'll walk in that righteousness. Those are the ways that he's establishing for us right now. Amen. See, the devil would like no better than to trip people up and get them to sin during this season. And then condemn them and tell them, you've lost out. You've lost out with God. I want you to know something. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. In Matthew 5, 6, Jesus said, hunger and thirst after righteousness. So what God's thinking about right now is your righteousness. How deep is your hunger for God, for the righteous holiness of the Almighty One? Stir it up. Let me tell you what else he's thinking about. God's thinking in terms of Jehovah Shalom. That's his name for peace. He's not thinking in terms of destruction. He is the Prince of, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. God is thinking in terms of your peace. Isn't what you all upset and all these things going on in your mind or whatever. He's thinking in terms of, look, I am Jehovah Shalom, your peace. Let me be your peace. Let me show you that I care about you. Let me show you that I can take your stresses and I can take your worries and I can take your anxieties and I can take your fears about tomorrow and I can put my peace on those and the fire of my anointing will burn up those other things and peace will rule and reign in your heart. Hallelujah. Those are his ways that are higher than our ways. Our ways in the natural to worry about it, and if we worry about it long enough, it might change. That's a lie. But that's what the devil says. But he thinks in these terms. Here's how God's thinking. God's thinking in Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. He's here. He's thinking in terms of Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I'm with you. His thoughts are, don't worry about it. I'm there. Jehovah Shammah, think about this. If his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, he's saying, look, I'm thinking in terms of, I'm there. Some people are acting like he's not. But I've got great news for you. As a born-again believer, he said, I'm thinking in terms of, I'm right there with you. I'm walking through this with you. I know everything that's going on with you. I know what the outcome's going to be with you. Hallelujah. Because I'm thinking in terms of Jehovah Shammah. I'm the Lord who is there. I am present. He's present. Hallelujah. Start talking God's thoughts. Here's another one. Number four, write it down. He's thinking in terms of Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He's thinking of terms in Exodus 15:27. I am the God that healeth thee. Don't sweat it. Hallelujah. He's the healer. I really believe that many of you are healed or touched and touched by the power of God today. And those watching live stream, healed and touched by the power of God today. Because he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that heals you. That's terms he's thinking about in this epidemic. You know what brings God glory is when somebody is healed when they had it and now they don't have it. And he's getting, come on somebody, the world isn't giving him glory, but he is getting all the glory for everyone that's restored. And every other thing we would ever face. It's not just about that. That is a minor thing for God. Is anything too hard for God? Absolutely not. I've said it over and over. I stand before you a testimony, a living testimony of being healed from hepatocellular carcinoma, of being healed from a heart issue, of being healed from a stroke situation, of being healed in my foot and my leg by the power of God. I stand before you, declare it. He's thinking in terms of, I want to perform miracles for you so that you become a witness to those around you in this season that the Lord thy God in the midst of you is mighty. Hallelujah. He wants the world to know he's healer. God's thoughts. He doesn't think in terms of us in regard to what our body ailments are. He thinks of us in terms of, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Come on. Hallelujah. According to Luke 4, 18, Jesus said, the Father sent me to heal the brokenhearted and the physical situations. Luke 5, 17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. He also thinks in terms, write this down, number 5, he thinks in terms of Jehovah Jireh, our provider. God's not looking at the economy of the world. And listen, the whole globe is in the same situation. Well, we've got to understand, see, we've got tunnel vision. We only look at the little things around us, our little world. But this is a global thing because there's going to be a global harvest. There's going to be global signs and wonders and miracles. There's going to be global demonstrations of the power of Almighty God around the globe and the gospel preached around the globe, and then the end will come. God's thinking way beyond our little world, but he's thinking about us in that. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. He's not looking at the lack. He's not looking at what the government is saying is going to happen or the news media that's causing panic all over the place. God's not even looking at that or the projection of there could be famine and there could be this in America and around the world. God is looking way beyond that. He's looking at, I'm Jehovah Jireh, your provider, and if you'll take care of God, if you'll tithe to him now, he'll take care of you and you will not lack even in the midst of economic upheaval. God's thinking in terms much greater than we. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife and I are tithers and we're givers. I believe in sowing into the kingdom of God. That's my future. That's God taking care of me. Whew. And by testimony, I can say this. And I think the Lord released me to say this. But I got a text from somebody out of state or out of town, and said, God told me to sow into your life and ministry, you and First Lady. And they sent us an offering of $1,000 just for us. That was better than a check from the government. Because that's sowed money that already has an anointing on it to reproduce an anointing. I'm just telling you, the Lord will take care of you. Because He's thinking in higher terms than we are. That's why He said, don't take any thought about tomorrow. Because tomorrow will worry about itself. Don't worry about even today and what you're going to eat and be clothed with it. Don't be stressed out about that, because God's already thinking in higher terms than that. He's thinking Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Anybody here? I tell you, it's great to have a crowd here. I've been preaching to empty pews for 6 weeks. Let me tell you, here's how else the Lord thinks, because His ways are higher. God's thoughts. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's your banner. Your banner. We've got to understand what a banner is, because the Bible says His banner over us is love. But we got to understand, a banner is a cover. It's a standard. It's a declaration of authority. It's a declaration of victory. God thinks in terms of His banner. See, because when they would go to war, they would take their banners and they would lift them high. And as they won the battle, they would lift that banner even higher. And when the battle was finally won, they would lead a parade with that banner of victory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. In a crusade of victory unto the Lord. See, God's thoughts over you is you're not going to fail. You're not going down. You're not going to backslide. You're not going to be complacent. You're not going to lose your family to the world. God's going to bring them in. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He's thinking in terms of banner, of victory, that He has already lifted up over you today. Hallelujah. And His banner is love and power. Glory to God. That's His ways. Let me give you one more. Number 7. He's thinking in terms of Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd. The shepherd. Think about this. The shepherd, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down beside green pastures. He brings me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me on the path of righteousness. John 10:11 says He's the good shepherd. And He said, I give my life for my sheep. Come on, somebody. Hebrews 13:20 says that He is the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus. He's thinking in terms of, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to take care of you. I'll guide you as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus. As long as you keep watching and walking with Him, He's going to take you down the right path. You're going to make the right decisions. Come on, somebody. Because there are a lot of people making quick, impulsive decisions right now because they got a stimulus check. And they're impulsively doing stuff with it. We tithed off of ours. Immediately, we put tithe into the kingdom of God. We sowed because if the government was to give me money to give to the kingdom of God, I'm happy to do it. Because when I sow into the kingdom of God, I'm the one who reaps benefit. Amen. Because you see, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Let's go to that last scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. The next scripture. For I know. Somebody say, God knows. The thoughts that He thinks toward me. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God is thinking so much higher in all this thing, and He wants to bring us up in the same level of faith where He's at and think His thoughts. Don't take the thought of the enemy. Don't take the thought of the negative. Say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I don't think like a child anymore. I am not impulsive. I don't think that way. I think the thoughts of the Word of the living God. I think these thoughts right here. Hallelujah. The Bible says you hide this Word in your heart so you don't sin against God. You think these thoughts of God because they're higher. They're what He declares and what He says in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to give God praise right now all over the house.